Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. This morning, I want to start off by reading the text. I want to minister to you a message entitled Masterpiece. I want to preface it with, I have a strong sense in my spirit that the way the Lord has brought this message together, I think coincides exactly with the individuals that are here this morning, and God is, I believe, going to speak something into your life. This message this morning is not about theology, although theology is good. It's not about doctrine, though doctrine is good. It's not about church, although church is good. This is about you and what God's doing in your life. I feel like God is speaking, going to speak something personal into your life this morning in a very real and, I think, a very tangible way. And I want to talk with you about masterpiece this morning. I want to read this verse from the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece, who has He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He has planned for us all along. Let me read it to you in the King James Version. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the modern Christian Bible says this, for we are God's making. You like that? For we are God's making, created in union with the Messiah, Yeshua, for a good life of good actions prepared by God for us all along. One more. For God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live and to lead our lives. Let's pray. Father, I praise and I thank You that this morning we are Your masterpiece, that we are Your workmanship, that we are work of Your hands, that You are painting on the canvas of our lives, Lord. And I praise and I thank You for that. And I know that You have something You want to do and say and speak into our lives this morning. And I pray that You will do it in a way that will change us forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to somebody around you and say to them this morning, you are a masterpiece. Now, in some cases, I thought that was a little weak, so try this. You're a piece of work. Did you see how much louder that was? And how much more enthusiastic that was? See, I don't think you meant by the second comment what you meant by the first comment, right? You are God's masterpiece. I want to talk with you this morning. I just want to talk with you. Just, I'm going to give you a little art lesson this morning. Some history. In 1914, Australian printer Egon Schiele painted this work that is on the screen entitled Wilted Sunflowers. It was a part of a group of paintings that he painted in the city of Kruma in Austria. It was meant to depict Van Gogh's sunflowers, but with the darkness of World War II that was looming. World War I was looming. In other words, he took off of Van Gogh's sunflowers and painted this in more of a fashion that showed the feel of the day. And it was a part of a series of paintings. Shortly after the war, this painting was purchased by Carl Grunwald. Grunwald was a Jewish arts and antique dealer in Vienna. He had been Schiele's superior officer, and he had actually recognized Schiele's talent, and he took him off the front lines and commissioned him as a war painter. So Schiele spent the World War I, he spent that painting as a historian, artist who was painting and capturing what was going on at the time. And Grunwald remained friends with him and stayed friends with him for a number of years after the war was over. And Grunwald purchased Wilted Sunflowers from him. Then in 1938... Grunwald and his family, who were Jewish, in 1938, they had to flee Austria because of what? Because the Germans were coming. Hitler was coming. It was 1938. You got to remember, this is just before Hitler and the Nazis they take over Austria. They incorporate it without a shot being fired. They incorporated it. Grunwald and his family knew what was coming, and so they took these paintings, this painting and two others that was part of the series, and they hid them as best they could. They hid them in storage, trying their best to hide them from the Nazis. Nevertheless, in Strasbourg, in the middle of the war, the Nazis found these paintings, and not realizing, not knowing what they were, they took the paintings, and needing to raise cash, Nazi soldiers took these paintings and sold them off the back of a pickup truck for potatoes and rice, because they were starving so for any cash that they could to fund the war effort. And so they took and auctioned them off of the back of a pickup truck. In the meanwhile, Grunwald and his family were captured by the Nazis, and they were sent to the concentration camp, where Grunwald lost his wife and one of his children in the concentration camp. After he got out of the concentration camp, or after the war was over and he was liberated, he spent the rest of his life, from that time to the time he died at 80 years old, he spent the rest of his life looking for that collection of pictures or paintings that he had purchased. And he found the other two, but wilted sunflowers was never found. For the other two pieces were put together, but for 68 years, the history books, the art books, read wilted sunflowers, and under the caption it always says, whereabouts unknown. Then in the year 2000, two experts from Christie's auction house were responding to what they thought was a routine call to follow up on a painting that the guy felt had some value. And he took a picture of it and he sent it to them, and they saw it, and they were pretty certain that they were going to see a replica of wilted sunflowers. And so the tenant before him had actually purchased this out of a thrift shop to just hang over a brown spot on the wall that was over the mantle. As the two experts entered the room, In just a moment, they looked at the painting and they looked at each other, and they realized they were not standing in front of a replica of wilted sunflowers. That somehow they were standing in front of the original wilted sunflowers that had been in a warehouse, had been sold off the back of a pickup truck, had sat in a dollar store or a thrift store, and had hung for years over the brown spot on the wall, was this portrait, this painting. They automatically realizing what it was, they began to realize that they were standing in front of something, and they began to hear the story of it, and they looked up the Grunwald family, and they took this picture, this painting, and they returned it to the Grunwald family. And in 2006, wilted sunflowers sold at Christie's auction house for $20 million. Now, I want to say a few things to you about this art lesson and about our lives this morning, because I think there's some similarities. I think there's some lessons, some things that it's going to say to you and I this morning. And I want you to listen to me just for the next few moments. One thing that I want you to know this morning is this: you are God's masterpiece. Ephesians says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created and planned in us. Now listen to me. When an artist puts together a masterpiece, what the artist does is he puts a little bit of himself. When the artist paints a masterpiece like this one in the corner here, he puts a little of himself, a little of what's going on in his life, a little of his expression, a little of his emotions, a little of him drains over or is put into the portrait that is there, or the masterpiece or the painting that is there. I have news for you this morning. Jesus, or God Almighty, did the same thing in you and I. He says that God, and we've talked about this in the last few weeks, that God created male and female, and watch this, in the image of God created him then, and God looked at it and said, it is very good. I want you to know this morning that when God made you and God fashioned you, God put a little of him in you, and that makes you a masterpiece. You understand this morning that there is a secret. Ephesians talks about it, or Paul talks about it in Ephesians. He says, there is a secret that I want you to know. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians puts it this way. He says, God has given me the responsibility of serving the church. And by that, I will declare this message. And this message was kept secret for past generations, but now it is revealed. For God wanted you to know the riches and the glory of Christ that are in you. Christ, this is the secret. Christ lives inside of you. I want you to know this morning that you are God's masterpiece. Oh, but wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. Isn't man fallen? Hasn't man become corrupted? Hasn't man become dirtied and burned by society? Hasn't man become mutilated? And I would say to you, there is a sense in which that is true, but I would also say to you that if Christ lives inside of you, that you are a masterpiece, not because of who you are personally, but because of the one that has put himself inside of you. Because Christ lives in you, I've got a secret. In the morning, when you get up, I want you to hold your head up high. The world may say something different about you. The moral may have a different opinion of you. I want you to hold your head high in the morning because you have a secret, and this is it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That makes you this morning a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. I want to encourage you this morning. When he painted on the canvas of your life. In fact, right now, as he's painting on the canvas of your life, Joanna, as the Holy Spirit paints on the canvas of your life, part of the Holy Spirit is flowing through that brush. Part of the Holy Spirit is flowing through that prayer. Part of the Holy Spirit is flowing through that word that gets inside of you. You are a masterpiece. A masterpiece. Which brings me to a second point that I want to make this morning. And it is this. You may not look like much, but you are still a masterpiece. Now, let's just be honest this morning. How many of you would want that painting hanging over your mantle? Right? I mean, well, it's worth $20 million. Yeah, I mean, I get that, right? But I'm talking about just this aesthetic value. I mean, this is, after all, this is not a painting that you walk in the room and it brightens up the room, right? It doesn't brighten up the room when you, it's called wilted sunflowers, after all. Not sunflowers or daisies or roses, but wilted sunflowers. This, and just quite honestly, Mike, this painting doesn't look like much. But this painting, because the master painted it, this painting is a masterpiece. I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well this morning, because sometimes your life does not look like much. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sometimes you find yourself in a place where, well, what I see around me, Pastor, doesn't look like much. What I see going on around doesn't seem like much. In fact, Pastor, what I see seems to be down, not over but under. What I see seems to be dark, not light. And what I want you to know this morning is there are times in life where life doesn't look like much, but you are still a masterpiece, even when life doesn't look like much, right? And here's what I know. If you live long enough, you're going to live through some seasons that do not look like much. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. He says, "For you see, calling your brethren, that not many are wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. For God," watch this, "has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the things that are wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. God has chosen the base things of the world to put to shame the things that are despised and chosen, the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh may glory in his presence." What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying to you this morning, there's going to be some foolish times in life. There's going to be some base times in life. There's going to be some times that do not look like much. But in the middle of those times, I'm still a masterpiece, my friend. I still have the artwork of the King in my life. You may get up in the morning and you may look in the mirror and you may realize, well, today I just don't look like too much. Right? I mean, that's just some days that are like that. But you still have the touch of the master on your life. The master has still taken the brush and painted on the canvas of your life. I know, I understand there are some seasons and some times that are darker than others, but don't you realize that the dark times and the light times work together for the good? There are those who are called according to his purpose and those that love the Lord. See, there's just some times, quite frankly, friend, that we're not going to look like much. But all I want you to know this morning is this. Don't you let the world's definition of you define you. You have the master's touch in your life. Therefore, you are a masterpiece. You may not look like much, but you're still a masterpiece. That word goes on to says this. Said, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see, there's one thing that this masterpiece does have, and the photo that I have doesn't display it very well. It may not look like much, but if you look down in the corner, what you find is this. This masterpiece is signed by the master. Do you hear what I'm telling you this morning? See, because there's some days in my life where what's going on doesn't look like much, but I there's still a place in my heart where he has written his name. There's still a place in my life where the signature of the master is. And oh yes, sometimes I have to get out a magnifying glass and I have to blow it up and I have to look close. Yes, sometimes darkness crowds around and I almost forget that it's there, but I want you to know this morning that signed in the blood of Calvary is the name of the master, my friend. You are a masterpiece. You may not look like much, but you are still a masterpiece. Second thing I want you to know this morning is this. You may have seen war, but you're still a masterpiece. You know what I'm telling you? Everybody goes through stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. Everybody faces war from time to time. Turn to somebody and say, I've been through some stuff. And I know you've been through some stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. You understand what I'm saying? You may have seen war. But just because you saw war, have seen war, are seeing war, may see war, doesn't make you any less of a masterpiece. I know, I understand. Some of you seen the worst of men. Some of you seen the worst of circumstances. Some of you seen the worst of life. Some of you are living the worst of life. And I do not have an explanation for that. I do have a word for you. That if you're in the middle of war, that doesn't change the fact that you are still a masterpiece. Some of you are facing some stuff. In fact, some of you some places right now where you can say, I never thought I would be here, right? Just like if this painting could talk, this painting never would have thought that it would end up in a warehouse. Never would have thought that it would end up on the back of a pickup truck being sold for potatoes. Never would have thought that it would hang in a thrift store. Never would have thought that its value would be, could it cover up a dirty spot on the wall. But all along, it was still a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. You may have seen war, but you are a masterpiece. That's what the Word tells us. The Word says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Come on now. That the excellency of the power of may be of God and not of us. You understand this word? Sometimes that's where the master's glory shines the most. Sometimes we go through those seasons. Sometimes we go through those difficulties and those places of war. Why? Because we understand and the world understands that the glory, the power is of God and not of us. But in the middle of that, watch this. The word tells me that in war, you are hard pressed on every side, but you are not crushed. The word tells me that in war, you may be perplexed, but you are not in despair. The word tells me that you may be persecuted, but you are not struck down. The word tells me that you may be in war, that you may be struck down, but you are not destroyed. What is that about? says, "For we always live delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be also made manifest in our lives. Then death is working in us, but life in you." You know, so what I'm telling you this morning, what I'm saying is, you may have seen war, but you are still a masterpiece. The master still painted you. The master still put his signature on you. You are still a masterpiece. Let me show you something else about this. You may think your life is not important, but you are still a masterpiece. You are still a masterpiece. This unbelievable piece of artwork was sold off of the back of a pickup truck for the price of a bag of potatoes. But it was still a masterpiece. Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? See, that's, you know you're a masterpiece. God told you were a masterpiece. You know you're worth more. The Word tells you you're worth more. You know you're worth more. The Spirit witnesses to your spirit, but that doesn't mean that sometimes you won't be sold for the price of a bag of potatoes. But if you are, you are still a masterpiece. You get me? You understand what I'm telling you this morning? You may not think your life is important, but you are a masterpiece. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying don't let the world's estimate of you determine your value. You see, what the world would pay for you doesn't determine your value. What you get on the auction block doesn't determine your value. The highest price of the highest bidder doesn't determine your value. Your value is determined by the fact that you are a masterpiece. You have the signature of the King in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, when the world looks at you, the world's not going to see what God sees. Don't you allow the world's assessment of you to define your worth. You are a masterpiece. That's David's story. Remember little David? He's out in the field. The prophet comes in. I mean, right? When the prophet comes, it doesn't matter what anybody is or what anybody, when the prophet comes, everybody stops what they're doing and they come to the house. The prophet Samuel walks in and says to Jesse, David's dad, "Call your sons." Jesse recognizes that the prophet's there. He tells his servants to prepare a feast and he calls everybody but David. Right? Jesse's first son comes. And he stands up and Jesse says, "This is my first son." And you remember what Samuel said? Samuel, when he looked, Samuel said, "Oh my goodness, this must be the anointed of the Lord." And God said, "Don't put no nothing oil on him. He's not the anointed of the Lord." One by one by one, it tells us that they rose up, and each time Samuel thought, "This is a masterpiece." And God said, Third son rises up, and Samuel says, "Surely this is it." Samuel kind of checks his spirit, looks at his spirit, and his Holy Spirit still saying, "That's not him." Fifth son, sixth son comes. Samuel's got to be saying, "Okay, God, we're kind of running out of options here, right?" And the Holy Spirit still says, And Samuel says, out of desperation, Samuel turns to Jesse and says, "Is there like another son?" And Jesse says, "Well, yeah. It's just David." "Just David? It's just David. Well, can you get him? What, you know, he's way down in the field. He's out there, he's been with the sheep all day. You've been around sheep." Samuel says, "Then I suggest you go get him because we're not eating until you get him." Right? They go down and here comes Samuel. Samuel looks like sheep. He smells like sheep. He's been out in the field. The Bible says that he looks on him and he looks on him and he says, and he was ruddy. That word, by the way, means short. Just saying. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I've always loved that. There you go. Amen, brother. Amen. He was ruddy, but he had bright eyes. You know what? See, what's Samuel? Samuel saw something in his eyes. Samuel saw something in his eyes. The eyes are what? They are the window to the soul. They are the way. You see, Samuel saw something in his eyes. And then I love, and I don't like to read part of a scripture, not read it all. He was ruddy, which means short. He had bright eyes. And this is the Bible. It says, and he was good looking. Just saying. I'm just saying. And the Spirit said, quote, arise, anoint him. This is the one. This is the one. See, listen to me this morning. You may think your life doesn't count much, but you are still a masterpiece. You may think your life doesn't seem like much. And sometimes everybody's life goes through the madness of mediocrity. It goes through just doing the necessary thing. That's what David was doing. He was just doing the necessary thing. But when David came into the room, the prophet of God, not Jesse's daddy, not Jesse's brothers, not Jesse's mama, but the prophet of God heard, anoint him. This is the one. You may think your life doesn't count much, but you are the anointed of the Lord. You are his masterpiece. You're his masterpiece. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me, mama. I know changing diapers doesn't seem to count like much, but you are his masterpiece. I know counting numbers or counting pills may not seem like much, but you are still his masterpiece. I know, Mr. Mechanic, turning those wrenches in those bolts may not seem like much, but you are still his masterpiece. I know, teacher, when you're wiping those snotty noses, that your life may not seem like much, but you are his masterpiece. Love the story of David. His daddy didn't see anything in him, and his brothers didn't see anything in him. Not even enough to call him to the table. Are you kidding me? You can at least invite me to come and sit, right? You ever felt that way? You ever felt like life just left you out, and it seemed like what you were doing was insignificant, and what you were doing didn't matter, and what you were doing didn't count? In fact, listen to me. In that culture, David was doing the worst job in the house. He was keeping sheep because nobody else would keep sheep. Sometimes in your life, you're going to feel like you're doing what nobody else wants to do because you're, well, doing what nobody else wants to do, but that's what God wants you to do, and in the middle of that, you are still his master. Masterpiece, my friend. His masterpiece. My goodness. I want to speak to you right now. Listen to me. This is not on the paper. This is in my heart. Listen to me. There's some young men and some young women that are here this morning. That you let them listen to me and listen to me well. Your daddy has not spoken into you what you are, and I hate that for your life. In fact, I think there may be some grown men that are here. You're laboring under this idea that what your daddy didn't recognize who you were. I want you to know this morning that where your daddy left off, your father has picked up this morning. Your father says you are a masterpiece, my friend. Oh, listen to me. Your life may not look like much, but the Father sees something in your eyes. Your life may not seem to count for much, but the Father sees something in your face. You are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. This morning, I want you to leave with that ringing in your spirit, ringing in your heart, ringing inside of you. One more thing I want you to see this morning. You may hang in obscurity, but you are still a masterpiece. Oh, the story. Casey Lynn, the story that this painting could probably tell. We don't know the exact story. Not exactly, not every step, but it probably went something. You know, there was probably a time when this masterpiece was in a damp, dirty warehouse collecting dust. It was stacked up behind the boxes, you understand? It was stacked, it was just kind of put in the warehouse. Grunwald hid it, and it was just there, and no telling how many years it sat in this damp, dark, cold, dusty warehouse. In fact, that's the worst place that a masterpiece can be. The worst place that a masterpiece can be. Perhaps one day somebody got tired of paying rent on the warehouse, and they said, I just need to get rid of this junk. And they were loading the junk up probably to go to the dump, right? They're loading the stuff up on the back of the truck, probably headed for the dump, and it just happened to stop in front of this secondhand store, and the owner was standing there, and he just happened to be sweeping the sidewalk, and he looks up and say, "Hey man, what are you doing with all of that stuff?" And well, I'm just headed to the dump with it. I'm tired of paying rent on the warehouse. And the guy says, "Well, I can't give you much, but I'll give you $50 for the whole bunch." He says, "Well, $50 is better than nothing. I got to unload this stuff." So the old man probably takes the stuff and stores it in the back, you know. He doesn't have time to go through all of this, and it probably sat there for years. Finally, piece by piece, he goes back and he pulls it out. And, you know, this is a secondhand store. He probably takes and sets this painting up over on the side, you know, over there with the cheap paintings and things that nobody else wanted. Probably sticks a dollar price tag on it. If I can just get a dollar on it, right? For somebody to take it out of here and just take it out of my way. Old lady's probably walking by one day. She left that morning and realized that the furnace pipe had caused a brown spot over the mantle. And she probably looks at it and says, "You know what? I really need a good painting to cover up. I can't afford to paint the whole place. If I could just come up with a good painting." And she comes by, she sees this painting in the window. And she says, "You know what? That'll cover up the brown spot over the mantle." Goes in and says, "I can't give you a dollar. I can give you 75 cents for it." The guy says, "75 cents? Better than nothing, right?" Takes it home and sticks this masterpiece over the mantle. This masterpiece started out in a damp warehouse, which is the worst place it can go. And the second worst place it can go is over a wood-burning fireplace because it dries it out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And there it hung in obscurity for years. Until one day a renter took a picture of it and sent it to two appraisers at Christie's auction house. The appraisers, when they walked in, listen to me, it hung there in obscurity, unnoticed, unappreciated, hot summers and frigid winters, growing old with time until the day the collectors came in and recognized it for what it was. Listen to me and hear me well this morning. If you miss the message, if you miss this, you miss the whole message. Hear me this morning. The masterpiece did not become a masterpiece the day that those experts called it a masterpiece. You understand what I'm telling you this morning? It was a masterpiece when it was covered up behind everything in the warehouse. It was a masterpiece when it was sitting on the back of a pickup truck being offered up for potatoes. It was a masterpiece when it hung in the thrift store with a dollar written on it. It was a masterpiece when it hung over a brown spot on the wall. It was a masterpiece the whole time. Those people didn't make it a masterpiece. It was a masterpiece the whole time. You hear what I'm telling you this morning? There's some of you are in a place you feel like you're in the warehouse. Listen to me. You're not going to become a masterpiece one way when you get out. You are a masterpiece, my friend. There's some of you feel like you are hanging in obscurity. You're waiting for the day that you will be recognized. Listen to me. That's destination disease. You are a masterpiece today. It wasn't a masterpiece the day the experts said it was a masterpiece. It was a masterpiece all along. Listen to me this morning. If there is a secret to living life as a masterpiece, this is it. It is knowing whether you're in the warehouse or in the back of the pickup truck or in the thrift store or hanging over a mantelpiece in obscurity. You are a masterpiece because the master's signature is on your life. So whether you're in the warehouse or not, live like a masterpiece. Whether you're on the back of the pickup truck or not, live like a masterpiece. Whether you're hanging over a mantle with a dirty spot behind you, live like a masterpiece because you have the signature of the King on your life. One last thing I want to show you this morning is this. Because you are a masterpiece, one day your value will be revealed. In fact, it's fascinating. Even on that day, do you know what the experts said it was worth? The first estimate was $3 million, which is a lot of money. The second estimate was $7 million, which is a lot of money. The experts got together and collectively they said, at a maximum, an absolute maximum under best conditions, it'll bring $10 million. But you see, they didn't recognize what the master knew. They didn't recognize what the master knew. And when the bidding started, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million, $8 million. And the experts are all looking at each other. I didn't know it had that value, right? $11 million, $13 million. And everybody, all the heads in the room are looking around. And somebody in the back says, $13.5 million. And everybody, the excitement begins to grow. And a collector in the back says, I'm not letting it get away from me. I bid $15 million. A guy across the hall says, I'm not losing it over $1 million. I bid $16 million. And somebody else in the back of the room that hadn't bid at all, he's waiting for everybody else to bid out. And he says, oh, if I don't get in on it, $17 million. $18 million, $18.5 million, $19 million, $19.25 million, $19.5 million, $19.75 million, $20 million. $20 million. What I want you to hear this morning is this. One day, your value will be revealed. Don't curse the warehouse. You know what drove the price up? You know what drove the price up? What the experts didn't realize. What changed the dynamic. The experts may have been right. Hear me, listen to me. The experts may have been right. But what the experts didn't know was that the auctioneer, when he got on the stand, the first thing he did was he told the painting's story. And it was the painting's story that made the painting worth not $3 million, not $5 million, not $7 million, not $10 million, not $15 million. It was the painting's story that made it worth $20 million. What I want you to know this morning is that you are God's masterpiece, and your story is going to give you more value than the world ever knows. Why is that? Because your story brings glory to the one who is painting on the canvas of your life. This morning I want to speak encouragement to you. Your real value is not determined by the experts or your neighbors or your coworkers. Your real value is determined by the one who is painting on the canvas of your life. The story that he is painting will bring him glory, and it will be for your good. You are a masterpiece. And that, Lord, that message to us this morning, as different as it may seem to some, speaks, Lord, of your value of us. And God, this I know. There's some lives that are here this morning that needed to hear that they matter, that they count. They're going through some things. There's some people here that are in the warehouse. There's some others, Lord, that seem to be hanging in obscurity, Lord. God, I pray that the word this morning would resonate in them deeply. They would understand and know their value to you. Lord, I pray. I pray that they would never allow the world to define them, the world to give them their worth. But their worth comes because of Christ in them. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for that this morning. Won't you stand to your feet and take just a moment and thank God for what he's spoken into your life this morning. I don't want to just dismiss this morning. I want you to take a moment and just thank him yourself. Just thank him yourself for what God has spoken into your life this morning. Father, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We magnify you in it, Lord. We thank you in it, God. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want you to look at me this morning. Just have a strong sense this morning that I need to remind you again. Your value is not determined by those around you. Your value is not determined by others. Your value is determined because Christ paid the ultimate price for you. That gives you the ultimate value to him. And this morning you can be encouraged because you are his masterpiece. Amen? Live like you belong to the King, to the Master. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord today. God bless you. I love you.